We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com. The
Score! This hour is brought to you by the 2023 BMW Championship at Olympia Fields.
Ladies and gentlemen, joining us now is a man who's got a massive brain.
Mike Florio.
He used to be a lawyer, then he decided to take his talents to the internet.
NBC Sports.
I'm sorry, I'm late. I was talking to Robert Kraft.
Pro Football Talk.
I wouldn't listen to some of those people out there, especially guys like Mike Florio.
Mike Florio with Bernstein, Holmes, and Rahimi on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Let's talk some NFL football with Mike Florio as teams are convening for their OTAs that are optional, kind of, but then they have some problems with the people who exercise their right for it to be optional. You know how all this stuff works. He joins us on the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book, and as always on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. You can follow Mike at Pro Football Talk. Mike, what's happening, man?
How's it going?
Good. These new rules are coming into existence. So I think I'd like to start with the idea of the Thursday night flexing and what that means. It's at the point now where it's hilarious to me, the contempt with which the league holds some of these fans who travel and, you know, actually go to games. And I'll say I was gobsmacked when Jerry Jones gave us the trivia note that only 7% of self-described NFL fans have ever been to a game.
Well, and there was a time where going to the game was the focal point of the league, where they wanted to protect that experience above all else. At one point, the old blackout rule, which kind of just went away 9-10 years ago, it applied even if the game was sold out. Within 75 miles of the stadium, the game just was not televised. You had to go to the game or you weren't going to see the game. And then they modified it to only if it's not sold out. And that was a big deal. And that finally went away. And now the TV audience is what the NFL caters to. That's where the bulk of the money comes from. And you're right. This is a middle finger to the in-stadium fans, the folks who make plans to attend games, whether locally or whether traveling. It still is an imposition on somebody who thinks the game is going to be on Sunday. And then all of a sudden it's on Thursday, or it's going to be on Thursday and all of a sudden it's on Sunday. But they just, it's not that they don't care, it's that they clearly care more about the people who are watching on TV, and they want to boost that audience, especially as they make their pivot from three-letter over-the-air network to streaming platform. This is about getting maximum numbers to Amazon, and they don't want to have the full season average get cratered by a late season game between a couple of bad teams without a great quarterback that nobody wants to watch during the holiday season.
I think it mattered some of the stuff that Al Michaels was bitching about on the air. I really do. I think that has a lot of weight when somebody that august in his profession is like, yeah, this is like the fifth game on Sunday on CBS. You know, that you think back about what he was actually in real time live complaining about, I think that resonates.
Well, but the reality is the circumstances where he made that comment, that's not going to change with this new approach. That was pre-week 13 when the Thursday night flex kicks in. The other thing they've added is the ability to have teams twice per year tapped on the shoulder to play on Thursday after playing on Sunday in the hopes of making the overall schedule better for Amazon. So this is all about the looming and ongoing pivot that our entire society is experiencing from TV to streaming. It explains the two exclusive Peacock games this year. And I work for Peacock, a Saturday night in December, Bills Chargers, an exclusive wild card playoff game. They are trying to both play defense and offense when it comes to the future that is now when it comes to streaming. That's what it's all about.
Well, I will also say this, though, when it comes to the pattern that we're seeing out of cord cutters, and you know this, Mike, is that over-the-air networks are still free. It's the streaming ones that either you can sign up for that are free, like Peacock, with levels built in, or it's a subscription like Amazon Prime. So there's still that paying aspect and the cable aspect there. Amazon, to me, is the real game changer in this, because I don't know that we've ever seen the NFL cater so much, so blatantly over others in the way they have in choosing Amazon with this decision.
And I really do think the deeper issue here is streaming, not just Amazon, but the reality that when this current set of TV deals expires, and there's a term in there that allows the NFL to pull the plug prematurely. So I think by the end of the decade, they'll be doing this again. They want to have streaming companies that will do what networks traditionally have done, which is pay way too much, more than they should, for this content. You know, the NFL reportedly explored making Sunday Ticket available direct to consumer. And I think that the NFL thought it could make profit, more profit selling its content directly to the end user than it does through a third party, it would. But the reality is there have always been networks that will pay more than they should to have NFL content. And they're hoping that streaming platforms will do the same thing. And one way you get them to do that is to deliver massive audiences. I think that's what it's all about. It's not just Amazon. It's about Peacock. It's about Netflix. It's about anybody else that may come to the table and bid on the packages the next time around. They want to have minimal reduction between what we saw Thursday night football on Fox and what we see Thursday night football on Amazon. And the drop, as Lakeland Murdoch of Fox pointed out recently, it was too great. It was not good. And they're trying to push that floor higher so it's closer to what they got on Fox.
Do you think that Jeff Bezos is affected by this, or the you know, he's kind of one of those names that NFL people were paying interest to right now, especially when you consider what happened with the Commanders. Is there any effect there? Do you see any sort of proximity where somehow that might be playing into things?
Well, right. Somebody tweeted recently, and I can't remember who it was, basically, why is Jeff Bezos thinking about buying a team when he already owns the league? And there's some wisdom in that observation. I think with Bezos, it dawned on me a few weeks back. Why screw around trying to buy a downtrodden, dysfunctional team when you have the money where you could write a check and buy any team you want? Wait for a better team like the Seahawks, or, and it won't surprise me if he eventually tries to do this, make the owner of a good team an offer he or she won't refuse. Go to Clark Hunt and say, what's it take to buy the Chiefs? I mean, if I've got $120 billion, who cares if I pay six or 16 for a team? It's going to make a ton of money, and I want to be part of a winner. Why do I want to buy a bad team for six? And 16 is probably more than it would take to get the Chiefs. But why would I want to pay six for the Commanders when I could go to Clark Hunt and offer him twice that, 12, 11 for the Chiefs? And he'd have to at least think long and hard about taking my offer.
You're going
to
have Bears fans thinking, well, wait a second. There's a lot of people that are downriver in the McCaskey family tree here who can't wait for them to get an offer like that when the phone rings.
And I think that Bezos falls squarely into that category of guy who can buy any team he wants, except maybe the Cowboys. And there are owners who on principle would just say, we don't care about the money. We have more money than we can ever spend. We're not giving up this property. But I wouldn't be surprised if at some point Bezos strategically targets not a team that we would think is for sale. As these numbers keep going up, there has to be an owner of a team that we look at and say, hey, that's a pretty good team. And that owner could be thinking, this is a pretty good time to get out. And yeah, this is an offer that I just won't say no to. It won't surprise me if that's where Bezos finally ends up.
I'm wrong about a lot of things that I predict, and I thought by now there would be a good chance that we would be done with kickoffs. that at some point the very idea of the kickoff in the NFL would be vestigial and it would just be like the drop kick and we old people would tell stories. Why do we still have kickoffs?
You know, it's a great question. I was just talking to somebody about this before we started, the idea that they continue to chip away at it. And I argued in a post that we published earlier today, why not just put the ball at the 25 and be done with it? But they're still keeping it around. It's going to happen less frequently that we have kickoff returns, which of course will make players less prepared to go tackle, block, defend, attack when it's time to actually have a ball returned. It just doesn't make any sense to me why they simply don't get rid of it. The big issue here is, how do you simulate the onside kick? They've had on the agenda for the past several years the possibility of a 4th-and-20 play.
Yeah, get rid of the onside kick too then. Get rid of all of it.
No, well, that's okay. I love the onside kick.
Well, but once they have the alternative, that's when I think it all goes away. Unless, and you know what the cynical view is, they want to have the opportunity for commercial breaks, people to go to the bathroom, people to go get a beer. Let's have a meaningless 2 minutes where everyone can reset before the next drive.
That's right. It's the opening touchback commercial is what it is. It's not the opening kickoff anymore.
Well, yeah. It makes sense for sponsors and for people like me who still watch. Like, I'm still going to watch. Thursday night football, I do draw the line often. I will say that. But when it comes to the actual in-game action, it's an extra 45 seconds. Right?
But if nothing happens, what's the point? What is the point?
I watch baseball for the pitch clock. I'm probably not the target audience here. You make an excellent point. I am the zombie who's loyal. Loyal zombie. Speaking of that, these have no correlation at all, but I feel like it's a good time to bring up Aaron Rodgers' calf strain. Do people care? It seems like more of a talking point at this point and just the nature of being the Jets quarterback.
Well, it's what Chris Sims called earlier today on our show, PFT Live, an old man injury. It's the kind of thing that happens when you're getting closer and closer to 40. And Father Time's eventually going to win with all these guys. And people will compare Aaron Rodgers to Tom Brady and say, you know, Brady played until he's 45. But Brady doesn't have the athleticism. He never had the athleticism that Rodgers had. So when you have the kind of explosiveness that Rodgers has, you do run the risk of a greater likelihood of having soft tissue injuries as you age, because you're still putting that stress on your body that you used to, but your muscles are aging. For Brady, it wasn't an issue. When Brady ran, I thought we should hear John Facenda, because it seems like slow motion NFL films footage. With Rodgers, he had a nice little run into the end zone on Monday. I mean, he still got it. So that's the concern as he ages. And when you have a calf strain, anyone that's had it knows the only cure for it is rest. Let it heal. And even when you think it's healed, let it heal a little bit longer, because you find out quickly it comes back. And I think he needs to shut it down now for the rest of the offseason and just get ready for training camp and not push it and hope it doesn't come back again or some other soft tissue gets tweaked once it's time for him to start getting ready for practice. He did it in a pre-practice conditioning drill with medicine balls and sleds. They may want to take a look at whether or not that makes sense, because it's the whole thing to get the guy ready for practice. If that's what gets the guy injured, you're not getting him ready for practice.
Yes, sleds can be tough that way.
We need to redefine this idea of old man injury. Yes, calf strain is an approaching 40 old man injury. Then you have the mid-50s old man injury, which is you wake up and something hurts, and you run through a catalog of possible reasons why that thing may hurt. And then you settle on various possibilities at a scale of probabilities, and you're not quite sure. All you know is that it hurts.
Slept wrong. That's my favorite.
No, or you were gardening, and you were in a position too long, or you were driving your wife's car without adjusting the seat the way you usually do.
Well, that's your own fault.
Well, I'm not saying it's not my fault. I'm just saying I forget why it hurts.
I had the got out of bed too quickly back injury not that long ago. So yeah. I understand.
That's a thing, moving too fast. Not a thing for professional athletes, but definitely a thing for us. Something happened on Pro Football Talk that I was pretty confident was going to happen. And that's the change of scenery benefiting Derek Carr. I don't think that's lip service. I think it makes complete and total sense given where he was. What are your thoughts?
Well, I don't disagree with that. But at the end of the day, Derek Carr does not have a lot to show for his 9 years with the Raiders. There was a season where he was emerging as an MVP candidate. There was a Thursday night game against the Chiefs that didn't go well. He fell out of that conversation. The Raiders still made it to the postseason that year. It was 2016. He suffered the broken leg, I think like on Christmas Eve or close to it, and didn't get a chance to play in the postseason that year. So, you know, he really doesn't have a whole lot of a resume of success. Is it his fault? Is it the team's fault? Now we see him in a place where they have a lot of pieces. They've had plenty of success. Yes, they are post Sean Payton, but we'll see. He's rejuvenated. Will it be enough to make a difference? It's a wide open division. Maybe you could call the Saints the front runner. I don't know who the front runner in the NFC South is this year. The Buccaneers have a lot of guys who played on the Super Bowl team, but they have a new quarterback. The Falcons have a lot of questions, but they've been 7-10 the last 2 years. And the Panthers have a pretty good defense. If Bryce Young works out, they could be good. It really is wide open. If it clicks for Carr and if it clicks for the Saints, they could win that division and, you know, make things interesting in the NFC. Although it just feels like, whereas the AFC is completely and totally wide open as to who emerges, it feels like it's the Eagles or the 49ers in the NFC.
Mitchell Trubisky called it a pleasant surprise when the Steelers said, hey, you want to sign a 2-year extension? And he did. And I guess on one level, good for him. Do you think that Trubisky is going to settle in to a Chase Daniel-like career at this point? Or is it more likely that he waits for an opportunity to... Is there still enough meat on the bone for his career, his ability, his age, for him to be a late bloomer as a successful starter somewhere?
He was only under contract for one more year in Pittsburgh. He could have played this year out. The starting quarterback in Pittsburgh, Kenny Pickett, had two concussions last year. There's a quiet concern in the organization about him. We focus so much on Tua and his concussion issues. Kenny Pickett has that same problem. We just don't focus on it because it doesn't happen on a big stage and it doesn't become a big talking point for national news. But Trubisky could have let it ride, see how it goes this year, maybe play enough that there would be interest in him on the open market. But he decided, it reminds me of what Charlie Batch did. Charlie Batch was the starter in Detroit for 3 or 4 years, took happily the backup job behind Ben Roethlisberger, won a couple of Super Bowl rings, stayed in Pittsburgh for the rest of his career. You can make a damn good living that way, and you don't have to play a whole lot of football. And yeah, that decision, it makes it seem to me as if Trubisky's happy there. He's content to be the backup to Kenny Pickett. He's content to make the money he's going to make. And he's abandoning this idea that he's destined to be a starter somewhere else.
You can, as we know, with Chase Daniel, the MVP at the bank, you can make a whole lot of money being a backup quarterback.
The difference is Chase Daniel could do one thing, and that was read defenses, which is the one thing Trubisky cannot do.
That seems like a big deal.
Right?
Big if true.
Well, and the reality, too, is they just signed Mason Rudolph to a new contract last week when he had been a free agent. And one of the theories in the aftermath of that was, are they thinking about moving on from Trubisky? That's why it was a surprise that all of a sudden they extended him. But, you know, it's one of those things where I wonder if there's more to the story. You got me curious now. I wonder if there's more to the story here. And I wonder. I'm going to make a few phone calls to satisfy the curiosity that you have put in my head as to why Trubisky would do what he did when he was just 1 year away from free agency.
Ooh, I love this. We put Mike Florio on the case inadvertently for a story that very few people except all of us in Chicago care about. Jackpot!
Mike, how seriously do you take some of these veteran players' absences from optional workouts? And when does it mean something? When does it not?
Depends on who it is. Lamar Jackson, when he missed the first day in Baltimore, my reaction was, they're paying you $52 million. I don't know where the line is between, well, you know what, they're really not paying him enough to be there, and they are. $52 million would seem to be on the, they're paying you pretty well, maybe you should be there, line, or side of the line. You've got a new offensive coordinator in Todd Monken. You've got new players there. You're pivoting from a run-based offense to an offense where you're going to be throwing the ball more. You would think he would want to be there. I think for franchise quarterbacks who are in stiff competitions every year with other franchise quarterbacks, and you've got Patrick Mahomes setting the standard that no one else is matching at this point, where he's there for everything. He brings his receivers to Texas. He takes notes on what they do well and what they don't do well. He communicates it back to the team. He's scouting incoming players, throwing with them before the draft. This guy goes above and beyond the call of duty in the name of winning. That's what it comes down to, especially for quarterbacks. How committed are you to winning? Everybody wants to be great. Not everybody wants to put in the time necessary to achieve that goal. And if you truly want to compete with Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady used to say this, if you want to compete with me, you have to sign your life over to this sport. And that's why with a guy like Lamar Jackson, when he got his contract and he wants to win a championship, the guys you're competing with are putting in the work. I think at a certain point, you need to do it as well. So that's my opinion there. For other players, I think it's case by case. It really is. And for some guys, I can understand it. Some guys are trying to send a message. Some guys may want out. But for a guy that truly wants to be great and has gotten his contract and has no reason to not be there and every reason to get ready for the coming season, I think he should be there.
And just quickly, Mike, I think there's an aspect of this that is worth acknowledging. And that is simply that a lot of things are easier at most teams' facilities. Like, it's just easier to train at teams' facilities. It's easier to get that extra work in or figure out what you need to be doing. And it's convenient sometimes to have these programs, even though they're spread out over a course of 3 weeks.
And there's another point to be made here. You also have a very significant insurance policy if you're on team premises, because if you drop a 25-pound weight on your foot and you can't play this year, if you do that at Gold's Gym, if they still even have Gold's Gym, they can say, we're not paying you. It's a non-football injury because it didn't happen at work. So that's another reason to be there. If you're going to work out anyway, be at the facility, because if the worst case scenario happens, you still get 100 cents on the dollar for the coming football season.
Man, that sounds like a great job where you can get paid to work out. Also, Mike Florio, you bring the truth.
Good advice, Mike. Thank you.
Great talking to you. Have a great week.
That's Mike Florio. Let's hear from Matt Eberflus when we come back on a couple of subjects, the expectations for Justin Fields and somebody who I've been paying pretty close attention to because I think he's really important and his improvement is still sort of hanging over the head of the guy that traded for him, Chase Claypool.
And in order of importance of Bears, we know number one is one. It might be worth workshopping this week. Most, like, second through 10th most important Bears.
All right. Let me back channel that and give that some thought.
Producing on the fly. Everybody else, you're also welcome to participate in this exercise. Maybe we put it all together tomorrow, Friday, just saying.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Bernstein and Holmes, your midday destination for Chicago sports talk on 670 The Score.
Yeah, so we wanted to get guys that were, you know, young and, you know, just, you know, young in their second contracts, you know, guys that would really have some years left for us, because, you know, it's like Tremaine Edmonds, you know, super young guy, a guy that we could build our defense around. And, you know, he's a special guy. He's got length. If you look at a lot of the guys, they're all long, you know, even the guys we drafted. We run them long, fast, you know, and strong, and those are the things that we look for. They have a certain style which they play, but there's no doubt we definitely look at that, guys that are young in their contracts.
Are you ready to talk some football?
I am, and I just realized that this is...
A Wednesday afternoon party?
Yeah.
A Wednesday mid-morning party?
All my rowdy friends are coming over.
We've
today.
We've got Layla and Dan and Ray and Studs. We're going to get this started, except it's in the middle of the show. The crew's been set. There's no crowd around. We're here for this Wednesday midday.
All my moderately excited friends
Bears.
Are here
Bears.
To talk football and have a San Pellegrino or something.
Go Bears!
I think we did the theme right. I think we did a good job.
Just the mid version. All my old tired friends are happy to talk a little bit of Bears this afternoon or this late early morning. Bears.
On the score.
Bears. We haven't heard much from Matt Eberflus because it's all been sort of big picture stuff and draft stuff and Ryan Pohl stuff. But now there's actual football players running around in their shorts and they're throwing footballs and they're pretending to block each other and there's whistles blowing and something that looks vaguely like NFL football.
Yeah, they're like Uncle Rico in front of the camera and everything. There were cameras yesterday, too.
Right, throwing that pigskin a quarter mile and out by those mountains over there. So I think it's important that we hear from Matt Eberflus. And I think the first thing has to do with Justin Fields and the expectations that he holds for him. So he was on with Dave Wannstedt. This is a pairing here. You talk about coachy coaches talking coachy coach stuff on the 33rd Team podcast, setting the expectations for the most exciting athlete in Chicago.
You can see the growth in his just understanding of the offense and command of the offense. You can just feel that when we're going through walkthroughs, you know, we're on the field today. You can definitely see that. And then mechanically, he's gotten so much better with his feet and understanding the entire offense. You know, he was learning a new language last year. And I really think that, you know, and he took big strides. We all saw that, you know, what he did, you know, in terms of, you know, running the offense. And now, to me, he's going to get better and better in situations and understand the entire offense just with experience, you know. And then also adding the pieces around him, you know, with, you know, Claypool and DJ and, you know, EQ coming back and, you know, all these other guys that we have added, you know, Bobby and all, you know, giving those huge tight ends in there that can really catch the football. And those runners, you know, the running game's going to be going like we had it last year. And then now we mix in and we're putting a good emphasis on the passing game this spring. And we got 12 practices with the mini camps and we feel excited about really working on that passing game as we go through it and keep improving. And we're going to make some big improvements here this spring. And our guys know that we got to work every single day to improve.
Okay. I mean, the music makes it all better.
Yeah, that's a good use of background music.
Yeah, coachy coach talk over urgent music is better, I think, just in general. We should
adds a vibe.
Yeah, it's like, okay, all right. I'm ready to go, ready for some of this stuff. So I don't think he said much. They'll have the running game and the passing game, and he'll be better because he's learned the language.
He didn't say some crazy soundbite that we're going to use on promos, but he's never been that overly confident about an improvement aspect of one part of the team before.
He also has a tendency to globalize. When asked about a specific, an Eberflusian technique is to then broaden the answer to apply across the board. Maybe that's just a head coaching thing.
It is a head coaching thing. I think it's also what you say when maybe you're not as confident about that area and you want to bring the focus to something else.
Could be. I think it's fair to speculate all that.
I wear a brightly colored top and dark colored pants. See there? Looking up.
I thought that cut you in half.
Not necessarily.
I thought at least for short men, they say always wear similar colors or a suit. You're going to look taller, keeping the continuity.
Yes.
Is that right?
But in my case, I know what I'm doing.
I'm not over here. I'm not saying you don't.
This thing, not the other thing. I think it might be one of those. So when it comes to at least his confidence in the offense, I appreciate that because I don't know that we've necessarily heard that piece of it.
I think saying that the running game is going to be the same as it was last year, didn't they lead the league? Weren't they the best rushing team in football?
One of them.
I think they were number one.
Let's look it up.
They only won three games, but I do think that was something they had going. A lot of it was because of their quarterback, and they had some of those huge Khalil Herbert games. But
I saw a guy wearing a Khalil Herbert jersey yesterday.
Where?
On the street.
Which street?
Michigan Avenue.
Wearing a Khalil Herbert jersey?
Indeed. Okay, so yards.
It wasn't me, I promise.
Wait, what number is Khalil Herbert? I don't know numbers.
24.
Who else is wearing? Could
yards,
be somebody else.
So yards per game. Let's see. Oh, yeah, it was the Bears.
Wait, pretty good margin, too. Wow.
Yeah. 3,014 yards as a team versus 27-20 for the Ravens. 5.4 yards per carry.
Are you sure that it wasn't a Jordan Howard jersey?
No, I...
It could have been a Marion Barber, a Glenn Milburn, a Jeff Fisher, a Vesty Jackson, Virgil Livers.
Don't forget Don Shai.
No, I saw the name Herbert in 24.
Okay. I'm just naming other Bears 24s. You know why Virgil Livers is famous, right?
Right, but like, anybody? No.
Anybody here? The great Adam Stadzinski?
No.
You don't know what is notable about former Bears defensive back Virgil Livers?
It's the first time I've ever heard the name.
Really?
Sorry.
You're going to have to tell us.
When did he play?
He played in the 70s. He played back when we used to go to games. Anybody for Virgil Livers? Notable because he blocked a punt with his balls and he lost one of them.
Oh.
Bold, rough day at the office. The lesson being, don't block a punt with your nuts. Yar.
The crew's all set. The crowd is hype. All my somewhat disturbed friends are here for Wednesday mid-morning.
How is your Sunday, right? Virgil? Not great. Been better. Nice punt block. Yeah, thanks.
No, so the guy was wearing a Khalil Herbert jersey.
Okay. I'm just making sure.
Since we're on the jersey theme real quick, this just sparked a really specific memory from like 3 years ago. It was one of the first times Dan ever saw me, and I happened to be wearing a number 30 Bears jersey, and he asked me, are you wearing a Benny Cunningham jersey? I'm like, Dan, no, it's a Mike Brown jersey. Why would I have a Benny Cunningham jersey?
Because you would. Because if we did a draft of people in this building by likelihood of owning a Benny Cunningham jersey, you'd probably be number one.
Yeah, I would be.
Okay? So stop. It's absolutely a reasonable possibility and or probability in this case.
Well, the fact that it went to Benny Cunningham first and not Mike Brown was weird to me.
Just don't wear the jersey the day of the game, right? What's the
That's
curse?
My superstition, yeah.
Don't
wear,
it is?
I don't wear any Bears gear, period, on game day because they always lose. And yes, and I know it has nothing to... I know that you would think that it would be not connected because the Bears have lost a lot in my lifetime, but I discovered this in high school, and I stopped wearing the stuff, and 2 years in a row, they were really good, so it's just stuck with me.
Really good?
It's white, yeah, they went to the Super Bowl. Over here.
All right, that's really good.
Well, now, in the true essence of this show, the Bernstein and Holmes show, what's happened is we're not going to get to play our sound about Chase Claypool because you just couldn't believe
that I saw a guy in the street wearing a Khalil Herbert jersey.
And it gave us a chance to talk about Virgil Livers' exploding testicle. Which Which leads us to High Noon. And I have a showdown, and I'm going to ask you get to decide... Which recent Yellowstone tourist is dumber?
Oh, God. I know the freeways are being worked on, but for God's sake, just think before you do something to beat traffic.
Bernstein and Holmes. Middays 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
I'll be back this way on Monday. We'll settle this then. Right there, out in the street, in front of the Palace Saloon.
Yeah, right. When? High noon?
High noon time, and it is Wednesday, which means your work week peaks here, and then you can just kind of slide on into a three-day weekend.
Were you ready for some football?
You're not letting this go, are you?
No.
You're having too much fun with it. We had football, indeed.
It's just way funnier to do it at the exact opposite tone and intensity.
We should actually write out the lyrics. Although I think it was pretty good on the fly, I have to say. we did talk football. We talked.
I hate my brain.
Why?
Because of stuff like this.
No, but that's why that's fun. You should like it for stuff like that. And so football talk involved the discussion of NFL stuff with Mike Florio and Bear stuff. Baseball was David Ross telling the truth, Jed Hoyer taking the blame, and some interesting psychological stuff from Michael Kopech. And I guess he actually kind of confirmed the Cornholio bit.
I have aggression. I must control my aggression.
Are you threatening
me? I am Cornholio. Are you threatening me?
What was our acronym? And then he said...
No, the acronym doesn't work yet.
No, he has to be focused, intentional, deliberate, unbothered, and tolerant.
I must be focused, intentional, deliberate, unbothered, and tolerant. I am Cornholio.
All right, well, he goes again today, so we shall see. And what else?
I think they have a chance to win this series again.
Of course they do.
No, a good chance.
Sure.
If they keep winning series, Sox math gets easier and more tolerable.
Yep, just get to 500, and then a conversation can begin.
That would be great. It's hey, Dan.
Hey, Layla.
Have you ever been stuck in traffic?
Yes.
Trying to get to the airport.
Yes.
And airport traffic stress is a different kind of stress.
Correct, because you're on the clock.
Yes. And it's your job's not going anywhere if you're late, but the plane does. So that's why I identified with this story. Downstate in Marion, a Southern Illinois man has been charged with theft for allegedly stealing a backhoe to drive 10 miles to get to an airport to catch a flight.
Got to get to the airport, man. Backhoe's got wheels and an engine.
Security camera footage shows a Carbondale man arriving at Veterans Airport of Southern Illinois atop a backhoe, and he left it in the parking lot.
He got there. Did he make his flight?
I don't think so.
Oh, or would he have made his flight were he not apprehended? Because that's kind
of
awesome.
And there's footage of him pulling up in the... I sent it to Ray and Studs. There's no audio.
Where was he going?
To the airport.
No, but where was the flight?
He also had a guitar.
I bet this... You know what? My guess is this was for love.
Are you sure?
Had to be.
The owner of the backhoe arrived at the airport a short time later and identified the equipment as belonging to his company. The owner said the machine typically used to move large debris had been parked at a job site.
And he knew how to drive it, though. Think about that. I wouldn't know how to if I jumped in a backhoe, I wouldn't know how to drive
like,
it.
Like, I'll just park it here.
Do they have keys, or do you just start them up?
I don't know the absurdity of it all.
It kind of depends. Sometimes, well, it's like different tractors have different ways of starting. Sometimes there's a key you need to put in. Other times not.
They don't have the new chip-based key yet, like the new cars.
This is also something that would definitely happen in Petersburg, by the way.
I've got a funny college
story about that. Know that there was a few years ago somebody got arrested, was trying to run from the police on a lawnmower or something like that. I'd have to look up the story.
I've seen it, yes. People try to, and people do that. Like, that's what I describe as antics. When somebody, messes with construction equipment as a joke or some such, that happens a lot. But no, this guy tried to use it as actual transportation.
I didn't know you could just start it up and go.
If it's at a job site like that,
really?
How am I the only one who hears the riff every single time he says "start it up"? How am I the only one?
I think I'm going to forego the high noon story I had planned. We'll do the Yellowstone tourist tomorrow.
No,
because this there's a story that I heard from a college baseball teammate of mine. And I never knew this story until recently. And it was so hilarious. And I can't believe I'd never heard it. Because we were talking about people we went to college with who were intolerable.
Dan Bernstein.
Oh, I was way down that. Believe it or not, are you kidding?
Yeah.
Where like Stephen Miller and Richard Spencer and these people are running around.
There were a lot of Duke bags.
I was well down that list. So he told me the story that I'd never heard. There was a guy who, and I think he lived on what they called the New Dorms down near Delt. So it was in New Dorms. That's where my pot dealer was. And he's the son of a world famous fashion designer. Obscenely wealthy and very stylish in his own right. Let's say he was the son of a fashion designer named, I don't know, Schmalf Schmoren.
Wow.
And
whose name is not really Schmalf Schmoren.
No, it's like Henry Lifshitz or something, right? Isn't it? He drove a vintage World War II Jeep. Not a replica. One of the cars he drove, in multiple cars, but one that he drove around was an actual World War II Jeep from like 1945.
Cool.
So One of my friends was telling his uncle about it. His uncle, who was a retired Marine.
Oh.
And the uncle said, you know, if it's an actual vintage World War II Jeep, there's no key. For obvious reasons. You can't be in the middle of battle and be like, Steve has the keys. We can't retreat. We can't advance because I don't know where are the keys. Check this pocket. Check that. So obviously they don't have keys. So he said, I know those World War II Jeeps and I know where the starter is. So you reach under the thing and there's a button and you turn this dial and you open it and it pops up. You press the button. It should start up.
They just knew World War II Jeeps?
This guy did. This guy was, I don't know if he was in, I think he was served in Korea and the Jeeps were the same. But this guy's uncle knew.
Badass.
So they got back to school. And they hated this kid. Hated this kid. So they all began randomly moving it, driving it, whenever they wanted.
That's tremendous. Yeah,
how great is that? So what they would do is they would wait for him to come back at some point, park it. Then they would get out and move it. And then the next day, they'd all wait for him to go out to his car, and they wanted he'd stand there like, where's my Jeep? Who moved my Jeep? And everybody made it a thing.
Who moved my Jeep?
Yeah, and then other people would just take it.
Oh, that's so
it was like
great.
one of these Lime scooters or whatever, because they all just say, like, hey, man, you're going to drive a car around, and no one likes you. No one likes you, Adam Eaton. I'd never heard it. I'm like, how come I'm just hearing this story now? And it's been 30 some years.
I am picturing just somebody waiting in the background, like as he unassumingly walks to class and then just running to the car.
They just went to park and get out. Whose turn is it?
Oh, that's so
good. They'd go driving around campus, waving to people. It's not theirs, you know, didn't matter.
That's tremendous.
I just thought
also,
that was
I
great.
Think I just found a hack for the way around that word issue that we had. Said bag. I said Duke.
Yeah, Duke mm-hmm. bag. Mm-hmm. It is more appropriate than you would even know.
Sweet.
Yep, that's pretty good.
I'm sorry about the Yellowstone story. Should we do it tomorrow?
Yeah, I got them. They're not going anywhere.
So we have two segments figured out. Your second through 10 most important bears, because number one is obvious, uh-huh. and Yellowstone.
We've already had a nomination. And the Yellowstone one. Do you remember when the guy boiled himself?
No.
Yeah. That's, it's not quite that grisly.
You look very happy.
It was awesome. A guy got into a hot spring.
Oh, no, no.
A boiling acid, 250 degree acid.
Sulfuric acid, right?
And they couldn't rescue him because of some weather issues. They went back the next day, dissolved.
Gross.
Gone. No remains.
Also, even if you got out of it really quickly, that's very smelly.
But all your skin would be gone. He died instantly. Even if you got out of it really quickly, you're still, I mean, you're not alive.
You're still dead, yeah.
If somebody fished you out, you're just bones.
Oh, gosh.
It's boiling acid.
Why would somebody, why?
They're, I don't know. They didn't know.
You know what I say about camping? No.
In general?
Yeah.
No camping at all?
Mm-mm.
It was good when I was younger. I don't know that I'd want to do it anymore.
I know my limits. And like, if I saw something that looked suspicious, I wouldn't be like, let me get in that weird-looking pool.
The differential between falling asleep in a tent and waking up in a tent is impossibly high. Like, in the cold, and you just had a meal, you sat around the campfire, it smells a little smoky, and you fall asleep in the tent, and you hear the owls and everything. Waking up is a nightmare. There's mosquitoes everywhere.
Yes, mosquitoes. That's what I hate.
Then you got to go pee in the woods, and there's mosquitoes and maybe a bear, and it's awful.
Nope. No to all of it. You guys with your nature, y'all go right ahead.
Jason Leisure will tell us his bear's observations next on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader. Watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field. It's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.